Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, that's right. The adults are back in charge. That was the message from Sean in Shelby. He messaged us on the Montana Talks app earlier. Sean, thanks for that message. Yeah, I'm on the road today. We are broadcasting live. We are actually inside his official office. Montana Congressman, former Trump Interior Secretary, and Navy SEAL Commander Ryan Zinke. He is going from meeting to meeting already this morning. He was at one of the big inaugural balls last night. He'll be with us here later in our 9 o'clock hour of the show, Montana time, of course. But yeah, it's already 9 o'clock in the morning here in Washington, D.C. What an office he's got, by the way. I mean, I just got a photo with Congressman Troy Downing before he ran off to some other meetings. He's got, of course, a big elk trophy mount here in the office. All of his Navy SEAL memorabilia from his years, his career in the U.S. Navy. He's then, of course, got the Montana flag, all of the tribal nation flags as well. You know, during his time as Interior Secretary, you can see a lot of the memorabilia that he collected during that tenure as he served in President Trump's cabinet as well. So very cool, very Montana office here. And he'll be joining us later this morning on the show. And I told him, hey, if you got any, you know, cool friends that are running around D.C., tell them to stop by and see us as well. We got some great guests that are going to join us this hour. Senator Tim Sheehy, newly elected Montana senator, he'll be with us. We've got Senator Steve Daines. He's going to come join us here in person as well. And then I just got a note from Montana Rancher and the first vice president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. Turk Stovall is coming over to join us. I got to see him yesterday at a inaugural watch party with that Senator Steve Daines' office hosted, so that all the Montanans who couldn't attend the inauguration after all the events got moved indoors, all the Montanans were able to hang out and have a good old Montana watch party. And I got to tag along with them, and it was so great to see so many great Montanans in the house for that event. Hey, let's see. Tim and Savage sent me a message last night. He said, hey, you've got to go to the White House website. And this was just hours after President Donald J. Trump became president once again. And so I went to whitehouse.gov. Make sure you add the .gov. Just make sure you add .gov. Go to whitehouse.gov. And all of a sudden, this video featuring President Trump is the first thing that you will see. And Tim and Savage was exactly right. You see that video on the White House website. America is back, baby. America is back. Yeah, really excited to catch up with our Montana senators here in just a second as well, because they're already taking action. They've already voted to confirm Marco Rubio as the Secretary of State. Pete Hegseth to be Secretary of Defense. He already cleared committee with a vote from Montana Senator Tim Sheehy in committee as well. I'm hoping Pete Hegseth could be confirmed later today, and I'm hoping I could be there to actually see it in person, but you never know.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see more cloudiness in the area today and some scattered flurries and snow showers as well. As high temperature readings will stay in the upper 20s and lower 30s.
And we will not.
For tonight, clouds, some scattered flurries and snow showers. Low temperatures near 10 in Bozeman, about 23 in Billings. Now we'll see lingering clouds and some snow showers around the area into Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fox Rocks. I'm Michelle Foligno, Olivia Rodrigo, Stevie Wonder, The Reunited, No Doubt, Peso Pluma, Alanis Morissette, Anderson .Paak, Dawes, Graham Nash, John Fogerty, and the Black Crowes joined the lineup for the Fire Aid benefit January 30th at the Intuit Dome and Kia Forum in Los Angeles. For No Doubt, it'll be their third performance in nearly a decade following a reunion of the 2024 edition of Coachella. Kid Rock is hitting the road in March and April for a seven-city arena tour, which kicks off Friday, March 21st. Chris Jansen will join for all March dates, and April Uncle Cracker will take over. Black Eyed Peas canceled its Las Vegas residency at Planet Hollywood's PH Live. Online speculation that the residency was underselling has been circulating for months, though the group explained on social media the cancellation was due to current circumstances. Ticket providers will issue full refunds automatically. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., the day after President Trump's inauguration as 47th President of the United States. We should have the entire congressional delegation join us at some point. Plus, you never know who else might show up with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental. It's going to be some great coverage. Stay tuned. Tuesday's Montana Talk, statewide 9 to 10. This.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have Senator Steve Daines with us here any moment. I know he was hosting a Bible study here on Capitol Hill. Pretty cool deal. A lot of these senators, and oftentimes in a bipartisan basis, will have regularly scheduled Bible studies. And so I heard Senator Steve Daines was hosting a Bible study here earlier this morning, so he should be here any minute now, but that's all right. Take your time. That's certainly important. You know, we can catch up with the senator anytime, and so he'll be here in just a few minutes. It was really cool yesterday, you know, because so I didn't get in till like late Sunday night for the inauguration. Because the flight getting out of Billings was like 7 hours late. You had an engine that couldn't start. But I do want to say that the gate agents, the folks that work for United Airlines in Billings, are just great folks. It was fun getting to say hi to a few of them. Great folks that work there for United Airlines in Billings. But yeah, what do you do? I mean, the engine wouldn't start, so they had to fly in another plane. So I didn't get into D.C. till late Sunday night. But that's all right. That's all right. You know, I mainly just wanted to be here for this historic moment and show support for President Trump and the America First agenda. And just really, I believe that we are seeing it, that America has a second chance. And so it's just such an honor to be here for this moment. But then I'm like, well, what am I going to do for the inauguration? I thought, well, I could go down to the Capitol One Arena and go see the crazy line and interview people in line. But many of you, if you were listening yesterday to our coverage, big thanks to David Noble for filling in studio. But I was able to call in a couple of different times during the show. And so you got to hear what I was doing, you know, cruising around in front of Fox News and NBC News, walking around Capitol Hill. I ran into Governor Greg Gianforte, and that was fun running into him. But then I found out, well, all of these Montanans who had tickets to the inauguration, what were they going to do? Were there any watch parties or anything like that? And so that's when I had found out, oh, a bunch of Montanans, whether they got tickets through the congressman's offices or the senator's offices, that Senator Daines was hosting this watch party in his offices in the Hart Senate office building. So I thought, you know what, I'll go over there. And then I get a chance to run into all the Montanans. So I recorded a couple interviews with some of the Montanans that were over there. And that was great. In fact, you know what, while I'm talking on that front, let me see if I can cue one of those conversations up for you. Yeah, here we go. This is an interview that I did yesterday after President Trump was sworn in. Let me see if I can play this for you right off of my cell phone into my remote broadcast equipment here. We're running into so many great Montanans out here at President Trump's inauguration. We just had the watch party, the swearing-in ceremony, and more. Great to see one of our men in blue, one of our patriotic law enforcement officers, Captain Kent O'Donnell from the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office. What did you think of this whole event, being here with all these other Montanans?
Isn't this just incredible, Aaron, coming here at such a historic time for our nation? We've had a great time. I can't thank Senator Dane's office enough for inviting us up to the watch party after the inauguration, kind of plans changed, and just inviting us to his office to hang out, coffee and treats to watch this is just incredible. And then you were running into you there is just amazing to see how many people from the Billings area that we ran into. And everybody just... You got to experience, too, singing America the Beautiful in his office, and then the Star-Spangled Banner, the entire office just finished up and sang that. It was just incredible. I've had a great opportunities out here meeting with our senators and representatives, just bumping elbows with them and talking to me like they've known me forever. It's been incredible. I've also had an opportunity to sit and chat a few with a little bit on the local law enforcement and talk with them a little bit about what all this has put them through. And, man, what an event. And then you just think, from the law enforcement side of it, how much work goes into closing these streets and buildings and coordinating with all the different agencies. Actually chatted with some guys this morning that came down from Massachusetts to help out. There was a dozen of those guys that came down here. Just incredible.
Yeah, this morning as I was walking around Capitol Hill, I was walking around in front of Fox News and NBC News, and you know, like you said, law enforcement of every agency everywhere. I ended up running into Governor Greg Gianforte, so of course I catch up with his security detail from the Montana Highway Patrol. Great seeing those guys. But I'd see Border Patrol out here, and it's just fun walking down the street and saying, hey, thanks for your service. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for what you do. And because this is cold for a lot of them, but this is just good Montana football weather for us.
It is. Earlier this morning, I was chatting with some of the National Guard guys, and they were from Georgia, and they were not liking the weather. It was a little bit of a change. I have to tell you about one story, though. We went to a dinner here a couple nights ago, and one of the neatest things we saw is the table next to us. They invited us down to steal a couple of their chairs and sit down next to them. Actually, two Brits that came across took the flight to come here and see President Trump sworn in. And I was like, how special is that? And I didn't realize. They said they're having some immigration problems in their own country and losing some what we have for First Amendment rights that we take for granted, listening to their stories about some of their problems back home with their government. And I was just amazed that they made this trip to watch President Trump be sworn in.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, you think about some of the COVID stupidity. Well, they're literally throwing people behind bars for what they say social media platforms. It's crazy. President Trump definitely emphasized law and order today. Law and order will be restored all across this country, in our cities, in our inner cities, and more.
Well, President Trump absolutely has law enforcement back and has people's back, and I'm looking forward to where this country is going to go in the next 4 years.
All right, Captain O'Donnell, great to see you. Give our best to all your deputies and the sheriff and more.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Hey, we've got Senator Steve Daines in the house here broadcasting live from Capitol Hill. Well, I can't wait to hear the update from him because they are hitting the ground running, getting President Trump's team in place. Our inauguration coverage sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental in Billings, Montana's premier center for dental implants. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. Back with Senator Steve Daines in person right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year. But why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership, specifically the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted to a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy has its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand, emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino, Olivia Rodrigo, Stevie Wonder, The Reunited, No Doubt, Peso Pluma, Alanis Morissette, Anderson .Paak, Dawes, Graham Nash, John Fogerty, and the Black Crowes have joined the lineup for the Fire Aid benefit January 30th at the Intuit Dome and Kia Forum in Los Angeles. For No Doubt, it'll be their third performance in nearly a decade following a reunion at the 2024 edition of Coachella. Kid Rock is hitting the road in March and April for a seven-city arena tour, which kicks off Friday, March 21st. Chris Jansen will join for all March dates, and April Uncle Cracker. Black Eyed Peas canceled its Las Vegas residency at Planet Hollywood's PH Live. Online speculation that the residency was underselling has been circulating for months, though the group explained on social media the cancellation was due to current circumstances. Ticket providers will issue full refunds automatically. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, 427 national and state agricultural groups and agribusinesses sent a letter to leaders of the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee supporting Brooke Rollins' nomination as Agriculture Secretary, calling on the committee and the entire Senate to promptly confirm her for the cabinet post. The Senate Ag Committee has set Rollins' confirmation hearing for this week on January 23rd. The groups noted they represent farmers, ranchers, growers, hunters, forest owners, conservationists, cooperatives, state departments of agriculture, renewable fuel producers, and agribusinesses nationwide, encompassing all aspects of American agriculture, food, nutrition, and rural America. A native of Glen Rose, Texas, Rollins is the founder and CEO of the America First Policy Institute and America First Works, a pair of organizations that have championed Trump's agenda. Rollins was also a member of President-elect Donald Trump's Economic Advisory Council in 2016. On Friday at the public auction yards in Billings, just under 5,000 head of mostly feeder cattle sold. The five and a half weight steers priced at $3.47 up to $3.74. 5.5 to 6 weight steers $3.30 to $3.54. 7 to 7.5 weight steers $2.80 to $3.03. A few bred cows also sold, 5 to 8 years old, bringing $2,050 a head. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Senator Steve Daines, great to see you here on the House side of the Hill. This is like a foreign country sometimes for the Senate side.
Well, as they say here on Capitol Hill, the Senate's the country club. The house is the truck stop. So we're glad to be over here in the people's house.
As long as the truck stop has coffee, I'm good to go.
I'm good to go, too.
Yeah, well, you guys are already hitting the ground running. You're already getting some of President Trump's team in place last night. While everybody's going to the parties, you guys are voting, getting some of these nominees across the finish line.
Yeah, literally true. Aaron, after we had to be just an absolutely remarkable day. I mean, what a great moment in American history. Sometimes tears as I was listening to the battle hymn of the Republic. That, you know, the beautiful choir, the Marine Band, and to see J.D. Vance and President Trump standing there just a few feet away where I was able to be seated for the inauguration, a sight to behold. But then, as you said, okay, the formal protocol's over, time to get to work. And we came back to the Senate. I had a vote in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We passed Marco Rubio out of the committee. And then we processed that on the Senate floor last night, 99-0, a shutout for President Trump, Marco Rubio, and he'll be sworn in today as the first cabinet official. We were calling him Marco Solo last night.
Yeah.
He'll be the first one out of the gate here for President Trump. And then, I mean, it just continues. In fact, right if we wrap up this interview, Aaron, I'll be heading back to the Senate side. We will have Elise Stefanik, Congresswoman Stefanik, you know, 10 years in the House, President Trump's nominee to be the U.N. ambassador. Oh, boy, what a swamp to drain there in the U.N. And grateful for Elise's moral clarity on Israel, confronting the anti-Semitism, the wokeness in our university campuses. She is wonderful. I had a great chat with her yesterday, getting ready for today when she'll be in front of the committee. And then at 10:15, we'll be processing Scott Bessent's, who's the Secretary of Treasury for Trump. We'll have a vote in the Finance Committee, which I'm on, and we'll process him through and then move as quickly as we can on the Senate floor. So it's really heads down, get these Trump nominees confirmed as quickly as possible. A lot of folks asked me, Pete Hegseth, he had a 14-13 vote in Senate Armed Services with Sheehy's on that committee yesterday. Thank God for Tim Sheehy, a 14-13 vote. Think about that for a moment, Aaron.
That would have gone the other direction.
That one Montana vote right there already making a difference here in Washington to get Pete through the process. But I'm confident you will call him Secretary Hegseth here very soon.
Yeah, that's great to see, especially a fellow veteran there, and then a fellow veteran like Tim Sheehy voting in committee to advance a fellow veteran like Pete Hegseth. Great news. And I think people really like to see you guys hitting the ground running, because you know, with Democrat control of the Senate, that's where everything went to die. And now we've got the opportunity to actually, America's got a second chance now. Being in the rotunda must have just been incredible. But I tell you what, you know, I'm kind of glad that actually the events got moved indoors, because it was so cool. I got a chance to go hang out with all the Montanans. You and your staff was so gracious to host a watch party for all the Montanans that were here. And, you know, having all the Montana people in one spot and watching the ceremony, everybody was singing along together for the various hymns and things like that. It was just incredible. It felt like a little family watch party just, what, a block away from where the actual event was taking place.
Well, Aaron, we worked so hard to get tickets for Montanans who were expecting to be outside as part of the inauguration. We just felt for these Montanans. You know, they came dressed for battle. They know what it's like to sit at a Bobcat game or Grizzly game in November, sometimes in playoffs in December, and dress for one. In fact, I told our family, we have our entire family back here. So all of our children, their spouses, our six grandchildren, my mom and dad, dad's 85, mom's 82, they all came back to watch.
Oh, yeah.
We are all here together as a Danes family to celebrate this moment in history. And I told them all, I was texting the family saying, hey, it's going to be cold. Dress like you're going to a Bobcat game in December, not church. Because sometimes you think about, well, you know, you want to put a coat and tie on. No. Dress like you're going skiing or going to a football game in Montana. And then, of course, they made the decision, which was the right call. The problem they had 18-mile-an-hour winds yesterday, and this damp cold in D.C. is a different cold than we have back in Montana. It was the right call. And that moment we had, the acoustics in the rotunda, it was just absolutely beautiful, and I was hoping and praying that was coming through clearly to the TV audience. I was grateful I got to have a
I think it was. Seat. I thought it was powerful. I thought the ceremony was even more powerful and more intimate because everybody was packed into the rotunda. And I just loved the fact that, and I sent out a tweet while it was happening, that here's President Trump delivering his speech in the rotunda, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and everybody else, frankly, all these other presidents are sitting right there. But you know, for what they did to him, for what they tried to do him, yeah, sit there and take it. They should have to sit there.
You know, Aaron, I was so many thoughts kind of flooding through your mind in the moment, and as I was standing, I'm thankful I had a very good seat. I mean, literally right there, a few feet away from where it was all happening and seeing it up close and personal. But I remember the Thursday night in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention when I was invited by the Trump family to be in the Trump box that night. I spoke that night. That was the night I was on to give my remarks. But clearly, Aaron, I was the warm-up band. I mean, this is like some no-name compared to George Strait coming to the stage, which is Donald J. Trump. But it was the night I got to speak, and then I was asked to be with the Trump family in the box. And we had as I walked into the box, and the president was there. And I said, Mr. President, of course, we all know this is 5 days earlier. He was nearly assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania. That was on Saturday. This is the following Thursday. Still the bandage on his ear. I said, Mr. President, we were literally a quarter inch away from tonight being your funeral. But instead, you're accepting the nomination to be our next president of the United States. And he referenced that about how God is spirit. And I told him, I said, Mr. President, I truly believe in the mystery of God's providence. Understanding why was that fireman, why did he lose his life and President Trump's spirit? I don't understand that. But I do trust in God's providence and his plan. He spared your life, sir. You know, President Trump is usually never short on words, always has a lot to say. But in that moment, that Thursday night, in that quiet moment, he had nothing to say. He just was reflecting on that moment.
And Franklin Graham kind of referenced that in his incredible prayer yesterday as well, that it really does feel like this is a remarkable time in American history. I've been able to be in Washington, come to Washington before, and witness some events like this before. And it kind of seemed like American history, you know, the big historical moments were kind of history, right? This, you know, you are living in a remarkable moment in American history, not just living through it, but being a part of it with your vote as U.S. Senator.
Well, I heard one commentator reflecting on history saying, he believed this was the greatest, most consequential election, at least in the last 100 years. I think that's true. I mean, there were two completely different visions and ideologies for America in terms of what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were selling and President Trump's America First agenda. I just loved his unapologetic clarity in his inaugural address yesterday. I mean, as you said, when you've got Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris sitting within 10 feet of him, and he just laid it down clearly. This was a chance to lay down his vision for America. I could not have been more proud. And I know there's a lot of smiles, a lot of Montana's faces when they woke up this morning saying, President Trump now is our president.
I heard Fox and Friends say former President Biden. I was like that cup of coffee. You could just see the good steam coming out of it when that was heard. President Trump doing that right in front of their faces too. But I still thought he was very professional in the way he did it. It reminded
me. By the way, do you know something too, Aaron? I noticed. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to even watch the pundits because I've been so busy the last 24 hours. So I haven't heard the commentators, but I'm sure somebody pointed out the fact he didn't have his red MAGA tie on yesterday.
Oh, I didn't notice that
so
either.
J.D. Vance had his red. I mean, he was dressed like he was coming out of a MAGA rally.
Yeah.
The classic red Trump tie. Notice President Trump yesterday had a purple. It was a beautiful tie.
It was purple.
I've never seen him wear a purple tie.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I'll tell you, I mean,
which is a symbol of it is a bipartisan
of bringing the country together. And so he's not going to sugarcoat or dilute his convictions and where he's taking this country forward. But I noticed he wore a purple tie, and it was like, this is a message here. Do you want to get on board the train here? Everybody's welcome.
Yeah,
everybody's welcome.
That's a very interesting observation. Yeah. I was trying to listen to Fox when I was walking around D.C. I was trying to listen to Fox News in my ear while I was walking, and I don't think I remember anybody making that observation. It reminded me also of Governor Greg Gianforte's State of the State, where he also called out the nonpartisan and name-only Montana Supreme Court, which I thought was a great highlight from his remarks as well. I ran into him. Actually, I walked past all these VIPs going into these VIP buses, and all of a sudden I get a phone call. Hey! It's Greg. Come back to the bus and say hi. And it was Governor Gianforte. Well, Senator Daines, such an honor to see you here.
Sir,
and
thank you.
Thanks for making the walk over. And maybe I'll see you if I get a chance to roam the halls on the Senate gallery or something like that. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
great
sir.
To see you in person.
Glad to be here, Dan.
All right. He's got to run. He's got another important vote to cast here in about 25 minutes. We should have also Senator Tim Sheehy with us, I think, after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is great. I was just telling Navy SEAL and now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, as I'm occupying Navy SEAL Commander Ryan Zinke's congressional office here, I said this office is now occupied by the Army. You spent time with both the Army and the Navy, so whatever, as long as there's good coffee, right?
As long as we're killing the enemy.
That's right. Well, Senator, I think this is my first time seeing you in person since being sworn in.
You're right.
Great to see you. What was yesterday like? What's it been like? I just love the fact that you guys are already getting right into action, getting the job done, getting President Trump's team in place.
That's exactly right. Last night, we got Rubio in as Secretary of State. We passed the Lincoln Riley Act. There's going to be a number of other cabinet nominees coming through. We got Hegseth through committee last night, too. So, I mean, it is nights, weekends, holidays, whatever it takes. We're staying here to get as much done as fast as we can. I mean, we know that success in Washington is fleeting. I do think we've seen a structural change in the political landscape of America here after this election, but we can't take that for granted. So we got about 200 legislative days where we know we're going to be in control of the White House, Congress, and the Senate. We need to get as much done as we possibly can, as fast as we can. So that's what we're doing.
It really feels like America has a second chance now.
It does. And, I remind people, obviously, I'm here in D.C. and most people, especially back home, are not, which is good. And be grateful for that. You don't want to be here. But, let's not forget 8 years ago, right now, as we speak, there was millions of protesters roaming the streets of America, you know, hundreds of thousands right here in D.C., you know, burning cars, you know, the women's march, the protests, the resistance movement, remember, resists was everywhere. We don't see any of that. We don't see any of that. And that's not by accident. It's because the opposition has realized that they lack a message. They lack a policy set that resonates with the American people. And, you know, they lack a clear plan. And, you know, I think these fires in L.A., tragic, you know, terrible fires, which Montana has shown up for, by the way. You know, Billings Flying Service, Bridger Aerospace, Neptune Aviation, great Montana companies have gone to the aid of our brethren in California. But it's almost a symbol of dysfunction from just wrong-headed policies. You know, no common sense, no land management, no common sense in our first response structure. So it's a new day in America. People are excited. The optimism, you can feel it. Even in this town, which, you know, D.C. is like 92% Democrat or something like that, even more. But walking the streets these past couple of days, I mean, the energy's there. People are excited.
Yeah, I got to run into one of my fellow veterans. Actually, he's still serving in a couple of different capacities, but Montana guy that I served over in Africa with, so it's fun catching up with him. I know you probably see all sorts of fellow veterans just mm-hmm. being in Washington, especially with the mass of law enforcement here right now. What was it like being in the actual rotunda during a moment like this? All those former presidents right there, Donald Trump right in front of, right next to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, basically laying it out. And I love the fact that they just had to sit there and take it because of what they tried to do to him, what they did do to him.
Again, it was a clear mandate. It was a statement that we're back. And I thought the president's speech at inauguration was fantastic. You know, he led out a clear vision that we are going to unleash the American dream again. And I think that that's an important way to phrase it because American energy, we're going to unleash it again. American military, we're going to make it strong and combat focused again so our enemies know not to be invading countries every other week like we've been seeing in the last 3.5 years. We're going to unleash the American economy, our great American entrepreneurs, our businesses. We're going to go back to Mars. Or say we're going to go to Mars with a person. So we've been there with probes, but now we're going to send the flag to Mars. We're going to reinvigorate American technological prowess, bring manufacturing back. And then, you know, just common sense policies that very clearly the American people voted for.
Elon Musk looked like a little kid. I don't know if you could see his face in person, but I saw he looked like a little kid when Donald Trump talked about planting the stars and stripes on Mars.
He did. Funny, you know, Occupy Mars. Exactly.
Yeah. So. Do you think some of these guys, like seeing Zuckerberg there, is this a real conversion or are they just trying to bide their time through the next 4 years? What do you think?
You know, these are smart guys, whether you agree with them or not. I mean, there's no, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. I mean, these guys are exceptionally intelligent, successful people. And they didn't get there by making dumb decisions. And I think they've realized, again, last time Trump came to office, there was this wave of resentment, of resistance. You know, this time, I think what you're seeing from them is a realization that the last 4 years have been an unmitigated disaster in every respect. All socioeconomic classes, all races, colors, creeds. Nobody other than legal immigrants has done better these last 4 years in this country. Nobody. I mean, it's been a disaster. So I think they have massive data sets at their disposal, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, ordering histories on Amazon, whether it's just a lot of smart, well-paid consultants. They have a lot of data sets at their disposal that are telling them there has been a structural shift in the American political landscape. And therefore, for their businesses, they better orient them appropriately. And that's why they were all there yesterday. I think it was a recognition that this is kind of a Reagan moment where there's been a shift in the political landscape in this country. It's probably going to stay that way for a while, and they better be on the right side of it.
It was so cool. Yesterday, I attended a watch party with a bunch of Montanans. Got to see Turk Stovall and his beautiful family, his little kids, and their cowboy hats on. And, of course, you know, you guys are good friends. You've done a lot of, you know, cattle ranch work together. But, you know, seeing, you know, your friends like Turk and his kids and then – obviously, you know, you as a veteran, so many folks are so excited to see a young veteran like you in a position like this. I think only the second ever special operations or Navy special operations veteran to actually be sworn in into the Senate. And so how will you stay grounded, do you think? I mean, I know it's just the first couple of weeks. How do you think you'll stay grounded? I mean, those of us that know, you know that you're not going to forget where you came from because it's just ingrained in you, that sacrifice. But how do you think people in a position like yours can stay grounded in the midst of all this stuff?
Well, as you know, kids will keep you grounded no matter what.
They'll help you real quick.
They don't care what your title is or how much you get paid. You know, they're going to wake up in the middle of the night and puke, and they're going to demand you to help with their homework regardless. And sort of owning animals, horses, cows. I mean, they don't care either. You know, they require care and feeding at all hours of the night, all days of the week. Whether you're rich or poor, regardless. So I think staying in touch with that, we have not moved and are not moving our family to D.C. Specifically for that reason. We want our kids to continue to grow up in Montana. A lot of families do move here, and that's I'm not judging anybody whether they do or not. You know, it's a tough choice to make, no question, because it is a tough travel schedule. But it's very important to us that the values, of Montana, the values of the heartland of America, that's where we want our children to be raised. That's where we want them to grow up. And we're not going to change that. And I'll be doing the back and forth a lot. And therefore, being in state is still a really important part of that. So
I saw a photo you tweeted out with the Naval Academy Glee Club that did an incredible job singing in the Rotunda yesterday. What a remarkable opportunity for those, 19, 20-year-olds?
Yep.
The first couple that came out, I thought that guy was a Navy chief because I just saw the Navy,
anchor.
But also, this guy had a command presence. I mean, if people were crowding the aisle, he just barreled through, elbowed his way through, and kept singing. And you had to be really proud as a Naval Academy graduate.
Yeah, the Naval Academy Glee Club, they're one of the top, choirs in the nation. And obviously, I was not a part of that. I don't have the skills to be in the Naval Academy Glee Club. They would always get these amazing trips. And my roommate at the Naval Academy was part of it, and I was always jealous because, the rest of us would be doing push-ups or going on a 10-mile run and or just doing homework, and they'd get whisked away to something like this. It was great to see them there. Afterwards, I went and visited with them, got a picture with them, and obviously my wife went to the Naval Academy. We met there, so told them that story and had a really fun time. And then had some West Point cadets in the day before. Who were in a political science class learning about, just how the American government works and its structure. And that was really fun seeing them, too, because we have to invest in the next generation. We have to bring common sense back to our education system at all levels. We're supposed to be educating and enlightening kids, teaching them how to think, not what to think. And I think, we have to get back to that. It's just one of those common sense, initiatives that we have to bring back. It's making sure our education system is raising people who are ready to be adults at the end of it.
So I had Josh Smith from the Montana Knife Company come by earlier. It was great catching up with him. It was his first trip ever to D.C., but he's good buddies with Don Jr., so he was at the Commander-in-Chief's Ball. About a minute before I get to my next break, I kind of asked him, what's the coolest thing you've seen or somebody you've run into or whatever? Aside from President Trump himself over the last few days, just for all the inaugural festivities.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic meeting with our cabinet nominees that are coming in. I think Trump's put together just an amazing cabinet this cycle. And some of them I know, like Chris Wright and Doug Burgum, others that don't. But it's been really a fascinating experience just getting to know a lot of them. Obviously, Hegseth spent a lot of time with him these last couple weeks. Doug Collins, who will be actually meeting here very shortly with our VA committee. We've got just an awesome cabinet. Howard Luktick, all across the board, we've got some sharp people that are actually successful people before who are going to do a great job in these new roles to put America first again.
Of course, our inaugural coverage here, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental in Billings. See why people come from all over the Northwest for the most advanced and respected dental office. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. Senator Sheehy, if you got to run, I understand, because I know your day is racked and stacked. I do have a quick break I got to hit right here. Either way, thanks for coming down to the House side to come see us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming to D.C. Appreciate it.
Great to see you. We'll see you back in Montana soon, I'm sure. Okay, he's got a run, but we'll be able to catch up with him, practically anytime. Great to see your team out here as well. Quick break. Back after this, Turk Stovall may be dropping in, plus some other Montanans who are here for the inauguration in the next few minutes.
At KeyBank, we know a small moment like,
what's it like to have a yard?
Can lead to an even bigger question like,
am I ready to buy a home?
And that's the type of moment where we'll meet you, prepared to talk about everything you need to know when applying for a mortgage, so you can try to turn those backyard dreams into reality. Paul?
Yes?
Question. Are you a hammock person?
I think I might be.
For every financial need, we'll meet you in the moment. KeyBank opens doors. NMLS 399797, Equal Housing Lender.
Fox News commentary.
Today is the day we've been waiting for, the inauguration of President Trump and the celebration of the greatest political comeback in history. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's the day we've been waiting for, the inauguration of the 47th president of the U.S., Donald J. Trump. Today not only marks the beginning of a great American renaissance, but also the greatest political comeback in history. Just 4 years ago, Donald Trump was a political pariah, even for some on the right. And since, he's not only battled fierce partisan headwinds, but weathered an FBI raid, several sham indictments and persecutions, two assassination attempts, and even faced a new presidential challenger in the 11th hour. So yeah, today represents the ultimate triumph for the man, the myth, the legend, Donald J. Trump. But even bigger than the man himself is the mission. He has a mandate from the American people to make America safe, healthy, strong, and great again. This is the beginning of a long and challenging journey, but if there's anyone who can rise to the occasion, it's Donald J. Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see more cloudiness in the area today and some scattered flurries and snow showers as well. As high temperature readings will stay in the upper 20s and lower 30s. For tonight, clouds, some scattered flurries and snow showers. Low temperatures near 10 in Bozeman, about 23 in Billings. Then we'll see lingering clouds and some snow showers around the area into Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Our live coverage of President Trump's inauguration from Washington, D.C., with a live show from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental in Billings, Montana's premier center for dental implants. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com.
Uh-oh, Brock's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home.
2217 Grand in Billings.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, great to see Montana rancher Turk Stovall in the house here. I told you guys earlier, I got a chance to see him and his great family, and his whole family's here now in Congressman Zinke's office as well. He's the first vice president for the Montana Stock Growers Association. Turk, good to see you again.
Hey, good morning, Flint. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you guys are about to head back home to Montana, I think. So thanks for coming over and saying hi once again. What's the coolest thing you've seen or done in the last few days, would you say?
Well, I think for me personally, it's just been the coolest thing I've seen is just the expression from my family's face as we walk through and see all the historical spots in the city and just sharing really a historical moment in time. And that has been really humbling. And, you know, as we sit here and talk about this, this is going to be something that we're going to remember the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Got to hang out with you guys and so many other Montanans in Senator Dane's office yesterday. And it was so neat just seeing, you know, your kids in there with their cowboy hats and other kids sitting on the floors or sitting in chairs. Every nook and cranny of that office was filled with people. As Captain O'Donnell with the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office described earlier, people were singing the hymns together, standing for the anthem together. It was a real great moment to be with fellow Montanans right across the street from where it was all happening.
That, you know, that's right. And just everyone was so excited and actually even emotional. Just, you know, what this moment really means for the future. And, you know, now as all of us were just sharing photos of what we were doing, and you could see all the kids playing around and maybe even being mischievous every once in a while, you know, that's what it's really all about. It's really all about the future. It's about these next generations and what the decisions we can make and the things we can do for this country over the next 4 years has such a massive impact for our future.
You know, with the Montana Stock Growers, you guys are very involved standing up for Montana ranchers and engaging with our federal government, the bureaucracy, or the elected officials. So you've been back to D.C. a few times, I'd imagine. But there's something different about this moment in particular.
You know, it is. And that's, you know, it's always fun. You know, we have our cowboy hats on and everyone wants to come up and, hey, where are you from? And we talk about Montana. But what's really a proudful moment is we really do represent Montana's farmers and ranchers. And when we carry their voice to Washington, we believe now more than ever, we're going to have more of an impact of what real Montanans, farmers and ranchers really need to keep this land in production and keep these operations really going far into the future.
Senator Sheehy was just here. I know you got to see him in the front office as he was heading out. But, you know, you guys have worked closely together through your cattle operations, and your families are close. Your kids are close. You were telling me yesterday. But I asked him, what's going to keep you grounded? He said, well, kids will keep you grounded. Animals, livestock will keep you grounded because there's still mouths to feed and things like that. But but just to have somebody like him in a position like this at a time like this, not just as a friend, but somebody who's also going to, you know, truly stand up for the ranchers and for us veterans as well. What's that just like from your standpoint?
Well, it's, you know, the barriers, there are no barriers. And so we can have real life-to-life discussions on, like, what really is going to make the biggest impact and what is really happening at the farm and ranch level that needs to change. And what kind of policies need to change? You know, if it's from the estate tax and how devastating that is to Montana farmers and ranchers, and how stock horses said, we have to get rid of this death tax. Senator Sheehy knows this, and he is fighting from the Montana farmers and ranchers. And then we'll sit and talk about, hey, this is what the market's doing. Or, gosh, look how cold it is out. What kind of impact is that going to have on everybody? And he knows firsthand. And how important that is for our agricultural community.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of cowboy hats in D.C. this week for the Trump inauguration, but I don't think I've ever seen a bigger cowboy hat than the one your dad wore. He had the biggest cowboy hat ever, but more than his hat, he was just a big personality, both he and your mom, just great folks. It was fun to see them during the George W. Bush inauguration, and so great to see your family here now. Turk Stovall, thanks for joining us. Great to see you.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, we got more Montanans dropping by here as we broadcast live from Congressman Ryan Zinke's office here on Capitol Hill.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year, but why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership, specifically the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted to a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy had its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.